You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire.
The Paradise Papers, obtained from a Bermuda law firm, contain details not only about wealthy tax avoiders, but about investments as well. Kaspersky says that its antivirus software did, after all, copy files that weren't viruses, but they were still bad files. U.S. Senate Majority Leader McConnell says tech companies should help the U.S. retaliate against nation-state cyber attacks. I'm Dave Bittner with your CyberWire summary for Monday, November 6, 2017. The long-anticipated and much-feared document dump from Bermuda's Appleby law firm, specialists in offshoring who cater to very high-net-worth individuals, has dropped. 13.4 million documents are said to figure in the Paradise Papers leak, whose source remains unknown. Appleby has been preparing its clients since late last month for the exposure, which the law firm characterizes as an illegal hack, not a leak, presumably thereby ruling out document theft by a rogue insider. The law firm began to prepare its response when it was contacted in October by the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists, who sought comment on the documents. Among those mentioned in dispatches are prominent UK public figures, including members of the royal family. Of interest to U.S. audiences are documents that appear to show the way investment money from Russian oligarchs, and possibly the Russian government itself, passed into Silicon Valley. The New York Times reports significant Russian investment in both Facebook and Twitter going back as far as 2010, with the money coming from a variety of Russian sources through Yuri Milner. It eventually amounted to a bit more than 8% of Facebook and some 5% of Twitter. As the New York Times points out, there's nothing illegal about Russian entities, even state-controlled ones, investing in U.S. companies. Facebook held its IPO in May of 2012. Twitter went public in November of 2013. The Paradise Papers episode is being widely compared to the Panama Papers leak, in which 11.5 million documents taken from the Mossack Fonseca law firm were released to the public in 2015. We've received a number of comments on the Paradise Papers from industry experts. They've tended to see the lesson here as one of data security at law firms. Mark Sangster, VP and Industry Security Strategist at cybersecurity company eSentire, drew particular attention to the incident's similarity to the Panama Papers. He said, quote, "The parallels of Paradise Papers to last year's Panama Papers breach are obvious. However, beyond the shock factor of the leaked data itself, what's more alarming is the depth and magnitude of this breach. Law and accounting firms should raise the alarm when it comes to their firm's cybersecurity rigor. The Panama Papers may have been opportunistic. However, it laid a blueprint for these kind of attacks. It has shone a spotlight on tax operations in the Caribbean, and while the mechanics of the breach itself have yet to be revealed, it was clearly a targeted attack. Appleby took appropriate response steps in notifying their clients, but you can't ensure this. This class of events demonstrates why law firms must protect their clients' confidential information. No amount of cyber insurance, data-backed strategies, nor business continuity planning can ever put this genie back in the bottle." Law and accounting firms are particularly susceptible to ethical hacking, and really, every firm should assume they'll be breached, because they will be breached. These firms house a treasure trove of sensitive data that, when compromised, can result in sometimes irrecoverable damage. This attack will have far-reaching impacts for those affected. End quote. We also received an emailed comment from Ilya Kolachenko, CEO of web security company Hightech Bridge, who thinks this looks like a crime, whatever one might think of the high-profile victims. He observed, quote, "Seems that this is another major hacking case where intruders won't be found and prosecuted. Notwithstanding the allegations of wrongdoing offshore, a crime cannot be justified by investigation of unlawful activities. Victims should explore various legal avenues to claim damages, which may be quite significant." End quote. Law firms have become a very attractive target for cybercriminals, in Kolachenko's opinion. He notes, "Hacking of their clients is quite costly, will likely be detected and investigated, and almost certainly will cause very serious counteractions." End quote. He thinks the legal sector may be disposed to rely on legal measures for protection, and their faith in that kind of defense, he argues, is misplaced. He said, quote, "Many law firms still carelessly rely on the law for data protection, but this is in vain. Paucity of financial resources and lack of qualified personnel preclude law enforcement agencies from investigating and prosecuting the vast majority of crimes committed in digital space. This creates a very dangerous atmosphere of unlawfulness and impunity in the internet, undermining trust in the government and its ability to protect our society." End quote. Perhaps, he suggests, now is a good time to begin thinking about regulating data security in the legal sector. Quote, "Their data deserves at least the same level of protection as data of companies under PCI DSS or HIPAA compliance. Otherwise, visiting attorneys will become very risky." End quote. And of course, no one wants that. Kaspersky says its security software copied files that did not pose a threat to the systems it was protecting, a development that doesn't look good for Kaspersky. CEO Eugene Kaspersky denied in an interview with Reuters that there's any impropriety to this. The files copied may not have contained malicious code, but the non-malicious files were, he said, part of larger, suspicious files. This is unusual. Typical industry practice is for antivirus software to leave files that aren't viruses alone, not to pull in other files that may allude to tools or contain clues about hacking. Many of its commercial partners seem to be cutting Kaspersky loose. The company has removed the names of 67 tech partners, including Amazon and Microsoft, from its corporate website. The U.S. Senate Majority Leader, Senator McConnell, Republican from Kentucky, says Google, Facebook, and other tech companies should help the U.S. retaliate against Russia for attempts to influence U.S. elections in 2016. The senator said during a weekend interview with MSNBC, quote, "What we ought to do with regard to the Russians is retaliate, seriously retaliate. These tech firms could be helpful in having us, giving us a way to do that." End quote. So, mark and reprisal? We doubt it. Defense contracting? Well, probably.
Today's episode is sponsored by SRM, your first call for cybersecurity and investigations. Threats today are evolving faster than ever before, and since 2005, SRM has pioneered tailored security solutions for global corporations and their executives. Whether it's defending against cyber attacks with their award-winning team of ethical hackers and incident response specialists, or navigating the murky waters of compliance and ESG challenges, SRM's insight and straightforward advice will help you navigate complex risks and emerge more resilient. Their secret? A culture that nurtures the sharpest minds, giving them access to the newest technologies and the freedom to solve problems in new ways, enabling them to craft simple, effective solutions for your unique cyber challenges. Search Your First Call to discover how SRM can help your business. And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zero-trust-AI.
And joining us once again is Dale Drew. He's the Chief Security Strategist at CenturyLink. Dale, welcome back. You know, when it comes to cybersecurity, it's easy to point fingers, but you wanted to make the point today that perhaps it's worth looking inward.
Exactly. It's physician, heal thyself, right? I think sort of the point here is that what we've been seeing is not only consumers, but businesses sort of take steps to deactivate security controls within their infrastructure, deinstall antivirus systems, non-install patching. And so, you know, I've spoken to a large group of people and I, you know, pointed the finger at them and said, you are the reason cybercrime is so successful. You're not following security practices. You're clicking on phishing email. You're hitting reboot later when a patch is ready to be installed, and you're making it easier for the bad guy to compromise your system. And in fact, if you look at some of the recent, very highly public attacks that have occurred, take Equifax as an example, they haven't occurred because of highly sophisticated sort of movie-ready attacks, but they're taking advantage of a lapse in simple cybersecurity practices, the lack of patching, the lack of monitoring, and the lack of simple password management. You know, admin continues to be a very popular username and password pair. We think that you just have to take care of the basics. I mean, there's a lot of very sophisticated attacks occurring, but a majority of them are happening through the basics. I also think, you know, for the most part, security is boring. You know, real security is boring. It's really about monitoring your ecosystem, ensuring that you check all of your systems to ensure that they're in compliance with your policies and your practices and standards, to ensure that patches have been properly deployed, that you're scanning your systems. It's the basic fundamentals that are becoming more critically important because those are the things that sort of act as key bridges to breaking into the vast majority of your ecosystem. If real security was filmed as a movie, it'd be the most boring movie in the world. You know, the other point I'd say, you know, sort of related to this is that there was a recent study done by Gartner on IT security spending. And, you know, the basic conclusion was, is that if you were not spending more than 4 to 7% of your total IT budget to protect the company, you're really doing the company a disservice. So companies who don't have the resources to make bigger investment in security should really look to outsourcing their basic security components to third parties, cloud service providers or managed security providers. They've got the staff, they've got the capability, they've got the certifications to be able to handle those basics. And so it might be time to solve the inward problem by also looking outward.
All right, Dale Drew, thanks for joining us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire Daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
Thank you.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening.
And now a word from our sponsor, SpyCloud, the leader in operationalizing cybercrime analytics. Traditional threat intelligence is a thing of the past. Cyber criminals are stealing vast amounts of credentials, session cookies, and financial data every day, and it's hard to keep up. SpyCloud is the trusted partner businesses turn to fully understand their darknet exposure risk and neutralize threats before it's too late. SpyCloud alerts your organization as soon as an employee or customer's data appears on the darknet, so you can act faster than bad actors to prevent cyber attacks like ransomware, session hijacking, account takeover, and online fraud. With insights from the industry's largest repository of recaptured data, protect the digital identities and systems most important to your business. Get your free corporate darknet exposure report at spycloud.com/cyberwire and see what information criminals have in their hands today. That's spycloud.com/cyberwire.